It may be physical sometimes. I'm involved in a sinful activity and it may cost me my physical life. It may cause me to get killed or leave this life in some way because I am involved in that sin. But certainly the death is spiritual. If I leave this life in a physical way and I'm not in covenant relationship with God and I'm dabbling in sin, when I leave this life, I'm certainly going to die spiritually. I'm going to a devil's hell for all eternity. Because sin, when it is finished, it will bring forth death. There's no changing that. James said that. He wrote that. It's in God's Word. We need to understand it and believe it. And I love what James says after that. Do not err, beloved brethren. Don't do it. Stay on track. Stay focused in your lives. Being obedient. Doing God's will. It's just like Romans 6 and verse 23. The wages, what you get paid. You know, we all work all our lives to earn a wage. To make money. To support ourselves. Support our families. Pay our bills. To do things, to go, as we talked about yesterday afternoon, go to Hawaii, maybe, and take a great vacation. And we live to make those wages, but the wages of sin spiritually, Paul tells us, Romans 6:23, is death. There's no getting around that. And then I go to places like 2 Thessalonians, and there in chapter 1, as Paul a second time is writing back to the Christians there, and they seem to be struggling a little bit, and they needed some encouragement. And he's writing, he says, to you that are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus, he'll be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, how in flaming fire. And what's he going to do? Take vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel. That's serious, folks. That is serious. They'll be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, the glory of his power. And in our world today, just like it was in the days of Noah, sometimes folks are just too focused on the fleshly lust and the fleshly pleasures and the material things and the temporal things and the things of this world. And Noah himself saw firsthand, he experienced the cost of sin. He saw the destruction of the world at that time. If you can just imagine that, what that would have been like. But here, now I like this point, and this is probably one of my favorite because it's almost a hobby horse. Do we still use that phrase in the Lord's church? Preacher has a hobby horse. This one is so important to me. Noah saw that his family was saved. How important is that? He saw that his family was saved from the fate of the majority of the world. If you still have your Bibles open there, Genesis chapter 6, and I want you to look with me at verse 18. I want you to see what it says. And I can imagine God, and I don't know what form God would have been in, or how he was speaking with I almost said Moses, but he was speaking with Noah. And what does he say there? With you, I will establish my covenant. That's powerful. For God actually, you know, if he were to tell me that, and how I would feel about that, if God is saying, he is saying that to us today, and I'll show it to you as far as, especially for the men, but as well as for the ladies, I'll establish my covenant with you and your sons and your wife and your son's wife, and that is important. And we think about other passages of Scripture when we think about men and our responsibility. And let me say this, to be leaders. Our world needs men who will be leaders. In the right way. And we need it in the Lord's church. It's sorely needed today. In the Lord's church, we need it in the home, we need it in the community, we need it in our schools. We need men who are Christians who will stand up and be leaders everywhere. Noah realized that. Noah was a righteous man and he was a righteous leader, as far as especially for his family. Do you think about Mark chapter 8? You go to the New Testament, you think about the words of Jesus, and it's very important. Jesus said, what will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and he loses his own soul? How many folks do we know that have done that? How many? I have an uncle. I just thought of this just now. I have an uncle and he's still alive. He's in his 80s. And because of his efforts and his influence, my dad was converted. He helped to convert my dad and bring him to Christ and encourage him. And Uncle, I'll use his name, Uncle Bain went out every night. Dad told me he'd be out every night showing the Jewel Miller film strips. How many of us remember those? They're kind of outdated now. We use other means and methods. But he said about every night he had a Bible study somewhere. And Uncle Bain had a really good paying job, though. Bought a nice house out in the suburbs there close to High Point, North Carolina, of all places. And the Lord was blessing him. And he could use those blessings to what good he could have continued to do. But eventually, the pleasures of this life, the greatness of this life, the money coming in, and it turned his head. And what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And Uncle Bain became unfaithful, along with his wife, his children, three children, any spouses, no influence left. And it just pains me to think about that, you know, God had blessed him and was blessing him. And when we do his will, I firmly believe he will bless us. I've told folks this week, Psalm, and I need to go look up the exact scripture, but the psalmist said, the righteous will never go begging bread. God will take care of them. And it's true. But what we give in exchange for our soul, we need to make sure our families are saved. And when we're forfeiting our souls and our family for the physical and the fleshly, all is lost. Didn't the great man Solomon tell us, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child. And this applies to the moms and dads, but hey, as grandparents, I see that responsibility for my grandsons. I see that responsibility to my nephews. I see that as a responsibility to the young people at the congregation where I am at, to help those moms and dads in every way, that we train up a child in the way that they should go so that when they are old, they will not depart from it. And someone says, well, but Steve, my child grew up and they became unfaithful. But guess what? It's still in there. They haven't really departed from it. They may have departed from the Lord. And I pray every day their conscience hurts them. And so, as the scripture says, we do our best as we are, because God is going to look at what did we do when that child was my responsibility. When they become an adult, they're their own responsibility, and we understand that, and we get that. Ephesians 6 and verse 4, you fathers, bring your children, and I like this, I think it was Brother Glenn Colley once said, just bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Bring them up to God. And I agree with that. We need to do that with our children, that we're bringing them up before the God of heaven in every way. Noah did that. Noah did that. With Mrs. Noah, his three sons, their wives, he got his family on the ark. And today we've got to get our families on the ark that the Lord has provided, figuratively speaking, in the church. And he wanted to accomplish that. He was serious about living and teaching the truth to his family. Well, let's move on. I've got a few more points I want to make about this. Know us all that there's a pattern. Now, I want to ask you this, and you know the answer to this. Has there ever been a time that God didn't have a pattern? That God didn't have a plan? That God didn't have specifics? Because folks today, at times, they want to make God all loosey-goosey at times, and I've got a neighbor that said, well, when I stand on the day of judgment before God, he's just going to have to accept me as I am. Ooh, I don't want to be in her shoes on the day of judgment. But that's her attitude. And she will not move off of that. And I do, you know, we do the best we can to love her and do what we can for her. And there are folks like that, but God has always had a pattern. He has had a plan. And Noah never just arbitrarily, God didn't say, Noah, build an ark. Go find you a good architect to draw you up some plans. Find you a good building place to supply your materials. Check with the boat yards and blah, 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 and all that. No, God gave him specifics. And you look at chapter 6, you begin in verse 15 all the way through to verse 22. And here we are at the beginning of the Bible. And all the way through the Bible, you see the idea of what God does as far as a pattern, a plan. 300 cubits long. 50 cubits wide, 30 cubits high. You know, there's a window, there's a door, make it three stories. The gopher wood, pitch it within and without. Gave him all these instructions. And I would go so far as to say, when you start reading the details in places like Exodus and Leviticus, and you go through in Deuteronomy, duo meaning second, nomos, the law. Deuteronomy is the giving of the law again. Moses said, before we go into the promised land, here's the law. Here's God's law. Let's review it. That's the idea. And you think about all the detail and all that. And I would venture to say that we've just got the tip of the iceberg as far as the instructions. Because it takes quite a bit of paper to write down all that, knowing you, and God gave him those instructions. But we get the idea from that. And we know that any variation, we've always all said that. If Noah had made one little, if it had been, 300 cubits? I'm a foot short here, Lord. Well, that'll be okay. 2 foot short. Oh, that board, you cut it off, I'm 2 foot long. Any variation, and we always say it, and we believe it, and we understand it, the ark would have sank like a stone. And we know what the application is even for us today. Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. A lot of folks miss that, does the will of my Father which is in heaven. And Jesus makes it abundantly clear. Many will say to me on that day, the day of judgment, Lord, we prophesied in your name, and in your name we've cast out demons. In your name we've done wonderful works. We've done all these things. And Jesus is going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me. Those are words that I would not want to hear. But yeah, we've got a world full of folks who just, they don't think God has a pattern. And even James, in the book of James there in chapter 2 and in verse 10, and he talks about the fact that if we even fail in one point of the law, we're guilty of all of it. And that principle is, it's true. We've got to work on getting it all and getting it all right and following that pattern, and there is no room for delineation. Well, I think it'll be all right if we, and we got to be careful when we go there and we start filling in blanks with certain things. We've got to make sure it's right and it's in harmony with the Word of God. Well, let's move on. I got a couple more points here before your turbo clock back there runs out of time. Noah saw that we've got, and this is just like the prior point, you've got to be in the right place to be saved. Noah, his wife, all of his family, along with all those animals, where did they go? They went into the ark. They wouldn't have been saved just being over there around it. You know, let's gather around the ark and let's see what happens. They had to go in the ark. Those little words in the Bible, and they mean a whole lot. They mean, and we need to understand what they're indicating. You look at verse 7, Noah went where? He went in. I-N. That little word says volumes. He is in the ark, and his sons and his wife and his son's wife with him. Again, here it is, into the ark because of the waters of the flood. If they hadn't entered the ark, we know what would have happened. They would have died. They wouldn't have made it. And so would the animals wouldn't have made it either. They've got to be inside that ark as such. And we today, same thing, same principle. We have a place we need to be. I started thinking about 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10. And there's Paul is writing. And he's writing to that, as we call him, the young preacher Timothy. And he's telling Timothy, I endure all the things that I endure for the elect's sake, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in. I am in Christ Jesus. That's where we need to be, in Christ. Ephesians 1 and verse 3, and one of our elders, he had to resign last year. He's in his 80s, and I've heard him use this in so many prayers. Ephesians 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Notice it says spiritual blessings in Christ. And then you go down to verse 7, and it talks also about our redemption. We have redemption through His blood. It starts with in whom. I miss that. In whom. As we begin to understand, there is a place we need to be. 1 Peter chapter 3, and I'll leave you to go look at 1 Peter chapter 3. And even Mark and I were looking at that tonight, especially verse 21. But the comparison of where Noah and his family, as far as the salvation in the ark, and also the comparison to the life figure whereunto even baptism does also now save us. Just like it, the waters of Noah was saved in the same way. The waters of baptism now save us. Let's look at one or two more, and the lesson will be yours. Hopefully we get this one. It's important. Noah saw that God meant what he says. Again, in verse 7, God's saying, I'm going to destroy man. I'm going to wipe him off the face of the earth. I'm going to destroy, and it lists there, you know, man and beast and creeping things and fowls of the air. And God is telling Noah, it repents me, I have made them. And Noah's like, oh, God, he's just kidding. God, he's just such a kid. No, it was serious. And God was serious, and God meant what He said, and Noah probably is taking this very seriously. And when we, and there's no excuse when we've got the mind of God on page to know what God wants of us today, especially in the New Testament, and we need to understand God means what He says to us even today. And God, by His grace, He saved the obedient. He saved Noah because he was obedient. And we too have been warned. You go to places like Matthew chapter 24, misunderstood. But go there just a moment. I want you to look at something in Matthew 24. Just a couple of verses there that I want us to touch on very quickly. And I've got to move on because now Tim's getting up and leaving. He's already leaving me. But Matthew 24, and there's a change in the subject, but Jesus says, heaven and earth is going to pass away, and my words will not pass away. That's how serious it is. And he's talking about the day and the hour when he would come back, when he would return. And he says, no one knows, no man, not the angels of heaven, just the Father only. And then he talks about the days of Noah. That's the same way it's going to be when Christ comes back. In the days of Noah, right before the flood, and what does he say? They were eating, and they were drinking, and they were marrying, they were giving in marriage. They were going about their everyday normal activities of life, just like any other day, doing what they were doing. And it's the same, like just like the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came. So is going to be the return of Christ. And God said it, and His Son said it, and He means it. He is serious, and we need to be ready when He returns. And that goes along with the final and last point. God keeps His promises. There's not a promise. If someone can go to the Bible and find me where God has said something or promised something, anywhere in the Bible and promises even for us today, you show it to me where God has ever broken a promise. I can make you promises all day long and I may fail in doing it. Maybe not on purpose. Maybe it's because of circumstances beyond my control. I have promised you something and I want to do whatever it is and I fail and I don't get it done. I can fail in promise. Men will do that, but God will not. I think about all the verses that tell us that, and I'm going to just cut to the chase with a couple of them. You know, there in Titus 1 and verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, which cannot lie, has promised before the world began. Rest in the assurance. He has promised us salvation. Again, Romans 4. I love Romans 4 and verse 20 when he talks about Abraham. God says to Abraham, Abraham, 75 years old, Abraham, you're going to have the Son of promise. And Abraham's kind of waiting around and waiting around. It's like, God promised. He's not making good on it. It was 25 years later. He's 75 when God promised. And here he is. He's 100 years old. And the Son of promise does arrive. God kept that promise. And in Romans chapter 4, as Paul is talking about that, and I love verse 20, that he didn't stagger. Abraham didn't stagger at the promises of God. He was assured that God was faithful, that He would deliver on that, and that Son of Promise came. And here we are today because of that. We think about the ark, and we think about Noah tonight. And we have to think about ourselves personally. I need to be like Noah. I need to copy his pattern, imitate what he did, and be like Noah and say no to the world and the wickedness of the world and make sure all these things, that I see these things and I strive to live my life, that I am obedient as it says of Noah. Genesis 6 and verse 22, he obeyed every commandment that God gave. He didn't do part of it, he did all. And we need to do the same. And we need to go out into the world and teach them the same, to show the world God means business. And one day His Son's coming back and we need to be ready. We need to be in Christ. We need to be in His church. As Acts chapter 2, verse 38 tells us, we repent and be baptized for the remission of our sins. We do it in the name of Jesus Christ. And at the end of that chapter, in verse 47, what does God do? He adds the faithful to that Ark of today is what it is. There's only one door on the Ark of today. It's the door through Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, he adds daily those who are being saved to the church. Are you where you need to be tonight in your life? If not, make it right. Obey the gospel tonight. Come repenting of sin, confessing Christ's name, being baptized in the baptistry. I know it's ready. I always peek when I come for a gospel meeting. I always look to make sure the baptistry is ready. Garments are there. And we'll baptize you into Christ tonight. Or if you're here tonight, you've been an erring member, been away from the church, sin in your life, whatever it is. Or maybe you just need prayers of encouragement. We'll pray for you and with you. Whatever you need, we're here tonight, and we urge you to come as together we stand and sing.